We got a song. Kind of flows in with that. Here you go, honey. You know, God can use anybody in missions. You know, Diana, we're glad that you've stepped out in missions. But God wants to use everybody and anybody to serve Him. Here's an old song. Well, it's not that old. Just after I got saved. So, it's a new song. It's an old song, she says. All right. Through the ages of time immortal, through the pages of history, God has summoned into His service everyday people like you and me. Everyday people who walk beside Him, always serving so willingly. God has summoned into His service everyday people like you and me. Why He did not select the mighty is for many a mystery. God has chosen for His disciples everyday people like you and me. Everyday people who walk beside Him, always serving so willingly. God has chosen for His disciples everyday people like you and me. Though unworthy to bear His sandals, I will serve Him unfailingly. Yes, Lord, I'm so thankful that God still uses everyday people like you and me. Everyday people who walk beside Him, always serving so willingly. I'm so thankful that God still uses everyday people like you and me. Everyday people like you and me. Amen. Everyday people like you and me. Friends, never be, as we continue on in this series on the disciples, God picked up some strange ones. Amen. Just like you and me. Amen. John chapter 1. I was into this text of Scripture last Sunday and I couldn't get away from it, so that's why we're stuck here. This is the text of Scripture that John, we've come to Nathanael, or Bartholomew as he's also called, and we talked about his calling, how he was the skeptical one, and last Sunday, Lord's Day morning, we were talking about how to win a skeptic for the Lord, and talking about Nathanael. But this last verse, this last couple of verses in this text of Scripture here in John chapter 1, it's the promise of God to Nathanael, and I want to have it. So I want to read it again. In verse 50, Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then He added this, "Verily, truly, I say unto you, you will see heaven open. You will see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Glory to God. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for this text of Scripture. We pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit of God would reveal to us that which we need to know today in this time and in this hour. Father, we ask, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit also that You would reveal the truth inside of us that needs to be exposed. Reveal also, Lord, the things that hinder us and hold us back from experiencing the promise of God for the disciples of the Lord. Lord, help us to walk as everyday people, but everyday people that are called by an awesome and mighty God. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, as I said, you know, I tried to move on to the next disciple, but I got stuck in this verse here thinking and pondering about it. And I said, you know, what God had for Nathanael, I would like to have for me. I want it for me. Amen. Does that sound greedy to you? I hope it's just passion coming out and not greed, because there are corners of the Christian church that I find that we're just a little more greedy than it is about hungry after more of God. I want to have an open heaven experience. I want a Nathanael promise. I want to walk in the open heavens. I don't want to walk in the shut up ones. I want to walk in the ones that are open up and I can see the sun and it will shine upon my pathway. I want to walk in that kind of experience and not the brassness of heaven. You know, or that old-fashioned phrase, that heaven is like brass. Actually, it's a scriptural phrase that has come into the vernacular of some of the old-timers in the church. You know, they mean that when they say that, you know, when I'm praying, I just feel like heaven is shut up. Heaven is like brass. I don't want to have that. I've had it too often. And I think you probably have too, where you feel that the ceiling of the church or the ceiling of your bedroom or wherever it may be is about as high as the prayers that you have to usher up are getting. You know from Scripture that, amen, it's going before the throne of grace, but there is this sense, there is this feeling, there is this, it's just not making it there. Like God isn't hearing me. Oh, He's hearing me, and you all know He's hearing me, or hearing you. But you're not walking in the prophetic, you're not walking in the sense of having an open heaven experience. Personally, I want to be one who walks in the open heaven experience, but the question is, and the question remains with each and every one of us, how badly do we want it? What does it mean to walk under an open heaven experience? Three things in particular, I think, in my pondering about this, of what it means to walk in an open heaven experience. Number one is the peering into heaven. That's the seeing component of this. And so as we discuss this thing about open heaven, it's a peering into, it's a seeing. It's seeing things that other people don't see. It's having the light of God shining upon your pathway, like what the Word of God does in our life. But you can read and read and read and read and read all kinds of Scripture, and it doesn't seem to be the Word of God is a light unto a pathway, a lamp unto my feet. You know that text of Scripture? It just doesn't seem to be happening. But the peering into heaven of this particular open heaven experience is to see the work of God, even the angelic realm, to see what the angels see. To see what others cannot see. It's like the prophet Elisha when he saw the army of the Lord on the hill. Remember that story going way back, how that his servant was scared and everybody was scared, but he looked up and he saw the army of the Lord, he saw the angelic realm, and he said, there's more with us than be with them. And here's his servant looking at him and he's counting two. But he was seeing something that others were not seeing. He was walking in an open heaven experience and not a shut up one. He was seeing the army of the Lord. I'd like to see that so that I will not walk in fear like others walk in fear. When they hear the news and walk in fear, I don't want to walk in that kind of fear, because fear is bondage. I want to walk in an open heaven. I want to have an avenue with God. I want to be able to see clearer than the others do. I want the light on the pathway of light, a life, so there will be less stumbling in my life and more serving. How much time do you spend stumbling? And how much time do you spend serving? If you could take all the stumbling time and turn it into service time, whoo, we'd get a lot more accomplished for the kingdom, wouldn't we? Feeling around in the dark. I want to walk in the light. The second thing that I sense that it means is it's the prophetic ear. That's the hearing part, the hearing component. Walking in an open heaven experience is to walk in the prophetic voice. Now, there's an awful lot of teaching in the body of Christ today, especially in the charismatic circles to which I am part of, about prophetic voices and prophetic things. I want to boil it down to the simplicity of it. and just simply say, I want to hear from God. Reading the Word, yes, the prophetic, that is to say, God giving insight through the Word in prayer to know what God is saying to the church, to know what God is saying into my life, and to let me be a channel for others so that I can speak truth into their lives. To walk in an open heaven experience is to walk in the prophetic. To walk where God says through you to others, I sense the Lord is saying this. I sense the Lord is saying this. I'm a vessel. I'm a channel. I'm able to be able to speak into your life. And God is able to speak into my life. I want to walk in an open heaven. I don't want to shut up heaven. I don't want to walk where I don't know what's happening or what's going on. I want to have some insight into what's happening in my life. I want to have some insight into happening in the church. I want to have insight in what's happening in our society, in our world. Doesn't always happen like that, but it's a walking experience. Walking in the open heaven. That's the promise that God gave Nathanael. Don't you want to have that kind of promise? There you go. I got a yip. Yeah, the question is, how badly do you want it? Because a lot of us are just quite content to let somebody else think for us. The third thing I feel that it represents is God's prosperity. Of course, I always think in alliteration, so I got peering and prophetic and prosperity. And we'll look at this in the Scripture, but this is certainly a clearly one that is over again and again. I'm not talking about the necessarily name it and claim it, but it is a principle that if you walk in an open heaven, that's the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. That's an old-time phrase. But that's also where the blessing of God pours out. Oftentimes it's an illustration that is paralleled like rain. When God opens up the heavens and it pours. Hallelujah. You want to be, especially in an arid country, especially in a place of famine, especially in a place of drought, you want to be in the place where the glory, where the water comes down. Amen. You want to walk in prosperity and blessing. You want to walk where the answers to prayer take place. Where the needs of your life are being met by God. And you can clearly say it wasn't me, it was God that met that need. I'm walking in the open heavens, hallelujah. Somebody want to walk with me? I want you to keep these three things in mind as we examine what it is to walk in an open heaven. Keep these three things in mind as we examine. What is an open heaven? Are you seeing? Are you hearing? Are you receiving what God has for you? It was for Nathanael. He was an Israelite in whom there was no deceit, no guile, old King James says. I believe it's for me as well. The first thing is walking under an open heaven. So those are the three things that I believe it represents. Now, number one, I want to say, what is walking under an open heaven? If you want to get to an open heaven experience, you've got to be a person of prayer. You got to walk it, friends. You know, this past week we have this beast sitting in our back room. It's called an exercise machine. My mother-in-law gave it to us. I don't know what she's trying to say. But anyways, it's been unplugged since we got it, you know. And anyways, I decided to plug it in this week and go for a walk on it. I went twice on it. It's got a little thing on there that shows how many calories I lost. This week I lost almost 87 calories. I said, where's the support in the house of God? I almost lost 87 calories. Thank you, people. Come on. You see, that's the problem in the church. Not enough encouragement. Go, that's it. Twice at 10 minutes, walking two different days, 87 calories. I went and looked on a box of cookies and found out that one cookie had 120. So that's not quite half a cookie. My math isn't that good either. But anyways, the whole point of what I'm saying is we've got to walk it if we're going to experience it. Prayer, the greatest hindrance to an open heaven experience is lack of prayer. I know it may sound redundant to say, but one reason why we don't sense our prayers reaching to heaven at times is because we're not engaged in prayer. Shooting off the occasional pew, 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 every now and then and watching them ping, ping, ping bounce off the ceiling. It's because we're not engaged in prayer. You need to pray. An avenue open, then go through it. Hallelujah. We want God to be there for us when we choose to need Him. Thankfully, there's lots of grace. Hallelujah. That when you do need Him, He is there for you. I'm not saying that if you cry out to the Lord and you haven't been consistent in prayer, that He's not going to hear you, friends. That's not what I'm saying this morning at all. God is gracious and He will be there for you. Hallelujah. But in the regular Christian life, friends, don't just say, okay, I'm going to sit down now. I'm going to pray. You've done it. I've done it. Nothing. Father God, thank you, Lord, for where do I start? Always start with the preacher. All right, if you doubt, always start for the pastor, in case you're wondering. Oh, God, well, pray for the pastor, you know, and then you wake up because you fell asleep. You remember that? Because I've been there, you've been there, you know, and you say, well, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with this situation? Well, friends, we have to pray open. It's almost like there needs to be an open heaven. We have to pray a breakthrough. Hallelujah. We got to be in walking in this thing, not just occasionally, but we got to be walking in an open heaven so that at any moment of the day, any hour of the day, that we can come and we can just go, oh, there's Daddy right up there. I can see right through the clouds. I can see right through the atmosphere and the thickness of this world, and I can see the throne room, and I'm bringing my petition. Hallelujah. Some of the people here are walking in an open heaven, and you know who they are because they're shouting glory. Hallelujah. You know, lack of prayer in the church, lack of prayer in our life, you can just feel the clouds shutting over. This means God doesn't care. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you, friends. It just means it's just that much harder to get through. You're not walking in the light. You're not walking in the truth. It's how you're stumbling around in the dark. You don't know why this is happening. You don't know why the other is happening, because we're not walking in an open heaven experience. James chapter 5 verse 16 says this, oh, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's what gets through the clouds. It's what gets through the thickness of the atmosphere of this world. It gets through there. The fervent, the effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. It doesn't mean you have to be loud, but loud can happen. Doesn't mean you have to cry, but cry happens. My mother was always one to say, the Lord ain't deaf. He can hear you. It's not a matter of volume, friends, but it's a matter of what is in the heart that comes out. And sometimes it's got to be, oh, God, then so let it be. It's like, you know, that little story about Horton hears a who, you know, how, you know, it's like, you know, and God, don't forget, I'm not saying that God can't hear us again. I want to always caution that on every level, but you know, it's how that one last thing that seemed to break through, that little boy that was breaking through to get the word out. We're here. God knows you're there, friends. He knows everything about you. He knows how you were created, knows everything, but He wants you to walk in an open heaven so that you can get there quickly. If you come prepared to church, I tell you what, we'll get right there quick. Isaiah chapter 64 says this, oh, that thou, O Lord, wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Whoo, hallelujah. Here is the prophet Isaiah that is praying. He's praying for what? He's praying that God would rend the heavens, that God would open up the heavens. That word rend in Scripture means to tear open. Praying a hole is what he's doing. He's praying a rift in the heavens. He's praying a hole. The prophet wants to walk in that hole because he remembers the stories of the prophets of old. He remembers what God has done in the past. And he says, I want to walk in that open heaven. I want to walk in that experience. I want to have the glory of the Lord upon me. I know what they did in the past. I've read about it. I've heard about it. I've heard it testified about. And I want to walk in it. Oh, God, rend the heavens. Lord, rend the heavens. Tear it open, Lord. How badly do you want it? If you want to experience an open heaven, you're going to have to pray it open. You know, when Jesus was baptized, if you want to look at Luke chapter 3, you know, every time you see an open heaven, there's prayer. I mean, this is his baptism. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 says this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened. Just in case you think I'm off on some wow tangent, you know, I actually got scripture for this. Here he is praying. As Jesus was praying, heaven opened, and there was the manifestation of God's voice. Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. As he was praying. See, Jesus walked in an open heaven, friends. When he was talking about Nathanael, here's what you're going to get. You're going to be able to walk in open heaven. This is something that he already experienced for himself. Jesus walked in an open heaven. He did not walk in darkness. He walked in a light. He did not walk in a constrained relationship between him and God the Father, but he walked in an open relationship. He walked in a way that he could speak to the Father and he would know the Father's will. When Peter was praying, when he was in the, Acts chapter 10? In Acts chapter 10, when he was in the tanner's house along the seashore, how that he was praying up there, and guess what? The heavens opened, and he saw a vision, and a sheet came down, and remember all the animals? While he was praying, while he was on the roof, while he was making intercession, that's when the heavens opened up. That's when he experienced an open heaven. Friends, we need to experience an open heaven. Do you really want to? Then we need to experience prayer. Individually and collectively in church. The second thing is we need to walk in obedience. Praying doesn't do a whole lot if you're not willing to do what God tells you to do when you hear it. There's a text of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, here, but I want to read the verses leading up to it. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heaven, there is no rain. This is what he's saying. There's a time when heaven is shut up. There is no rain. Or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence upon the people. But if my people... Here's what opens up the heavens. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, there's the prayer, here's the transition into obedience, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. There's something about a shut up heaven that God says, listen, I'm waiting for some, I've heard your prayer, now I'm ready to open it up. We need to walk in obedience. We so often think that we can get away with sin because nobody else knows us. Nobody else knows what we're going through. Nobody knows the hidden things of our heart. Nobody else knows the struggles that we have or the issues of life that we're dealing with. But friends, God knows, and you know what? You'll know when you start feeling the clouds, when you start feeling the separation, when you start feeling that your prayers are not getting there, when you start feeling that you're not close to God because you're not walking in that open heaven experience. We need to repent of our sins. We need to come to God and say, oh Lord, forgive us, oh Lord. Sin will shut up the heavens. Obedience will open up what we have shut up. You know, everything, and I have a picture here. Everything today, it's interesting, everything in Washington, D.C. is closed down today. The transit is closed. The government is shut down. Everything's closed. The bishop of Washington, the Roman Catholic bishop, said, told people, you don't have to go to church. You're absolved. You know, for those that, if they don't make it, they might go to hell. He says, this Sunday, you're absolved. If you die and on your way, you know, you're absolved. All right, whatever. You don't have to take communion today. You know, I mean, everything's shut down. But there's one area I noticed in a news feed, this one area of the government that is still open. The 3rd Regiment of the Army that guards the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier has been continuously marching back and forth since 1948, and they're not going to stop because of a storm. It's interesting. They're there on guard at the tomb of the unknown. We have, of course, at the same thing in downtown Ottawa, we have a tomb of the unknown soldier. It's guarded part-time. We know it's only in the summertime, but not in the wintertime. We know of other, it's off and on type of thing, but they take it pretty serious down there. It's 24 hours. It's we'll never stop. We're on guard. So many Christians use the storms of life as an excuse to walk away, to abandon their post of obedience. Well, no one expects me to stay out in this. Nobody expects me to serve the Lord when I have to deal with people like this. Nobody expects me to stay in a marriage relationship when I got to, no one expects me to stay at this job. Nobody, everybody is abandoning their post because of the storm. God says, you want to walk it under open heaven, that's a good thing. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the hurricane, of course, is that bit of light, is that eye of the storm. If I could just stay in the eye of the storm, I wouldn't experience the wind, If you just knew where to walk in the hurricane, you would experience sunshine all the time. Everything else around you is going down and nasty. But here you are right where you are in the midst of the storm. If you just got to walk in that open heaven, that is that part of the storm that is the open heaven part. Just walk in it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Lord says this, the scripture says this, the Lord will open to you a good treasure. The heavens will open to give you rain in your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not have to borrow from them. Oh Lord, I wish our government knew that one. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them, he is saying this, I'll open up the heavens. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. If you obey the commandments, if you walk in truth, if you walk in integrity, if you listen to me and obey me, he said, I'll keep the heavens open. I need to move on. The third one is to walk in unity. Something that closes up the heavens and the body of Christ is disunity, strife. The clouds of strife. It shuts up the heavens. The heavens become like brass. But unity and agreement in the body of Christ. When we come into agreement, when we come into unity, guess what happened on the day of Pentecost? When they were all in one accord, when they were all in one place, what happened? Woo! The Holy Ghost came down. Wow! They were blessed. The heavens opened up and God poured out His Spirit. Isn't that what the prophet said way back in Joel's day? I will pour out my Spirit. Well, he needed a funnel, amen? And that's what the open heaven is. It's a funnel. Pour in the funnel, it comes down, and it comes whoosh right at that one place. That was the upper room. There was unity there. We got to guard against disunity in our life, in our church. Jim Cimbala, in his book on power, Jim Cimbala is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And he said this was to pastors. He said, when you're hiring people in ministry positions, he said, it's first attitude. He said that its second is ability. The first thing that a doctor examines in a checkup is the tongue before he goes to the lung. Stick out your tongue and say, ah. It's the first part of a doctor's inspection. It's the first health check thing you do. Stick out your tongue. Well, that's exactly what he says. He says when it comes to people in ministry or hiring people, he says it's all about attitude first and ability second. Make sure that they're walking in obedience. Make sure they're walking in unity. Make sure they're walking in submission to authority. Make sure they're walking in a certain way. And friends, that will open up the heavens for us all. When we're walking in obedience to the Lord's commands, we're walking in the unity of one another, I tell you what, good things are going to happen. Day of Pentecost. Sin shuts up the heavens. Obedience opens them up. One last thing. One that you may not have thought of, and I wasn't thinking of it until I started examining the Scriptures. Walking in generosity. Generosity. What does that have to do with it? Well, in Acts chapter 10, we find that story of Cornelius, and he prayed to God regularly. And one day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. The heavens opened up and he saw an angel of God and came to him and said, Cornelius. He says, what, Lord? Because he didn't know. He was a Gentile. And the angel said to him, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up unto us as a memorial offering before God. He said, you've been walking in generosity. And that's made a hole, so to speak. He said, we want to pour something down. There is a domino effect to shutting the heavens. You can do the reverse of whatever I'm saying. You want to see the heavens open, you want to see the heavens shut. All right, here's one thing. You know, you want to see the heavens shut, shut up your heart. If you shut your heart, you're going to shut your wallet. If you shut your wallet, you're going to shut the heavens. Malachi chapter 3, a well-known text of Scripture, it says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, saith the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing upon you that you do not have room enough for it. Open heavens. How does he say, how are you going to walk in that open heaven experience? He says, you walk in generosity. You walk in generosity. He says, try me in this. See if, you know, you're giving. It will be noticed. I'm not saying you're going to buy favor with God, friends. Not at all. I'm saying if your heart is right and you're just living in that generous mode of Christian obedience and you just want to be a giver and not just a receiver, God says, I'll pour. There's a hole there that I can pour into you. God wants to pour in a deluge of blessing upon us, more than we can contain, more than we can hold. He wants to open up the floodgates of heaven. He wants you to walk in an open heaven experience. There are so many today that are in the church. I mean the church broad. That say, you know, you can go to a concert, you can bounce around, you can dance around, you can get excited about Jesus in certain places, but you don't have to walk in holiness. You don't have to tithe. That's Old Testament. You don't have to walk in prayer. That's religious. It's just about grace. You just have to enjoy yourself. Friends, people are being robbed because they're walking in a closed heaven experience when God desires to bless. Starts with prayer, continues with obedience, keeps open by unity, and then continues to be opened by a generous spirit. Let's commit to walk in obedience to God and His Word, so that we can live under an open heaven. Are you satisfied with the closed heaven experience? How badly do you want to experience an open heaven? Well, are you willing to pray it open? Are you willing to keep it open by obedience? Are you ready to walk in unity to keep it open? Are you willing to release your material things so God will release more upon you? I guess it boils down to how badly do you want to experience the presence of the Lord in your daily walk. It's not a walk of works. I don't want you to get that from this sermon. It's a walk of grace. But there are principles that God has established in the universe, that if we walk in them, He is bound by His word to respond. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You offered to Your disciple Nathanael an opportunity to see heavens open, to see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, which we never got around to exactly that point. But Father, there is an experience for Your body. There is an opportunity for Your saints. There is an avenue where we can walk and experience and open heaven. Friends, today as we close in prayer in this service, perhaps it's the issue of prayer. Perhaps it's the issue of obedience. Perhaps it's unity. Perhaps it is generosity. Perhaps it's a part of all of those mentioned above. But something the Holy Spirit has honed in on an area in our life that is hindering our walking in an open revelation, an open peering, an open prophetic, an open area of prosperity. So just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I've heard from heaven today. Lord, I desire to walk in an open heaven experience. Father, forgive me and cleanse me, Lord. Father, clear the way. Let nothing be between my soul and my Savior. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.